Our Old Testament reading for this Good Shepherd Sunday is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our gospel reading for Good Shepherd Sunday comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers." But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. A couple weeks ago, we read about Jesus reassuring doubting Thomas. Last week, we read about Jesus encouraging the disciples on the road to Emmaus by explaining how the entire Old Testament points to him. Today, Good Shepherd Sunday, Jesus comforts us who worry about the future. He said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." That's Jesus speaking in allegorical language about heaven. So, according to Jesus, who goes to heaven? You know, of the 11 major religions in the world, including forms of Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, all of them, except one, teach that heaven is a reward for human effort. There's only one dissident religion when it comes to the question of who receives eternal life. Only one alternative view: Christianity. Here's what I mean. In our gospel lesson today in John 10, we just read it, verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Pasture is an allegory for heaven. And then Jesus continues, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." That's an outrageous claim by Jesus. He's saying that he himself, somehow, is the only way anybody goes to heaven. You know, this whole passage from John 10 has a backstory. It started in John 9 with the incident where Jesus healed a man born blind in Jerusalem. That created quite a stir in the blind man's neighborhood. In John 9, according to the witnesses who were there, Jesus had to be the long-awaited Messiah, the Christ. Who else could heal a man born blind? The neighbors were so excited that they brought the formerly blind man to the Pharisees, the officials at the temple. But rather than rejoicing that this blind man could now see, rather than considering the implication that Jesus must be the long-awaited Messiah, instead, these Pharisees were outraged because Jesus had healed a man on the Sabbath. He'd violated the law of Moses. He'd worked on the Sabbath. So according to the Pharisees, absolutely no way is Jesus the Messiah. In John 10, the Good Shepherd passage we just read, that's Jesus' response to those Pharisees. Not only is he the Messiah, the true shepherd, Jesus explained, he's the door to the sheepfold, the door to heaven. If anyone enters by me, Jesus said, he will be saved. He'll find pasture. The startling thing here is Jesus' claim that he alone is the door to the sheepfold, the door to heaven. In John 14, verse 6, he puts it like this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's a claim that doesn't win Jesus many fans. It didn't back then, and it doesn't now. How could Jesus be the only way to heaven, the only way to God? You know, I read a piece written by Presbyterian pastor Alistair Begg recently, who pointed out that if the early Christians in Rome would have been content to simply include Jesus as just one in a pantheon of deities, rather than the only way to heaven, then they would have, in many cases, avoided the persecution they experienced. But instead, they confessed what Jesus taught. Jesus is the only door to heaven. As a result, they were used as human torches, or thrown to the lions in the arena, or forced to defend themselves without weapons from armed gladiators, all for entertainment. The idea that Jesus is the only way to heaven continues to be controversial and continues to produce martyrs. Here in America, the common belief is that all roads lead to God, as long as you're sincere and seek to do good deeds. While that sounds tolerant and equitable and fair, we're still left with God's word at the end of the day. And God's word tells us that Jesus alone is the door. Whoever enters by him will be saved. Jesus' claim is exclusive. But that's not why Christianity is different. Other religions have exclusive claims also. Christianity is completely unique, not because it's exclusive, but because Scripture teaches that it's Jesus who has saved us. We have not saved ourselves by being good people. In fact, the Bible teaches that we're incapable of being good enough to save ourselves. Read Romans 3, or Romans 7, or Matthew 5. But it also teaches that despite our selfish sinfulness, we've been given a righteousness from outside of us. Read Romans 5. Luther and Calvin called this an alien righteousness. Outside of Christianity, that idea of an alien righteousness is unheard of. Completely unheard of in the world of religious thought. The point of that is that you're not going to heaven because you're good. You're going to heaven because Jesus died an atoning death for you and imputed to you, credited to you, his righteousness. You're not even going to heaven because you've been transformed into a better person. You're not going to heaven because you've been adequately sanctified. You're going to heaven because, against all evidence that points to your unrighteousness, you've been declared righteous. You've been justified by Jesus. Once you understand that, it's life-changing. How so? Well, for one thing, there's no greater source of peace. You can relax. When you think you've blown it with God and he's written you off, think again. When you're searching for some reason that God should help you, that God should favor you, that God should save you, when you're scouring your mind trying to think of some argument to present to God to convince God of your worthiness, if you ever find yourself doing that, just relax. Relax and ask God to help you simply because of his unfailing love for you. God is full of mercy toward you and me. Cast your cares and your sadness and fear and worry upon God, who knows your frailties and sin and loves you anyway. Be comforted by the Holy Spirit, because it's Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who saves you, not yourself. The Good Shepherd will find you and come to your rescue every time. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us today. One last thing that I have to say is this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Go in peace, remembering that you're baptized.